You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
One of my favorites, Great White. Yes, please. A story here from ABC News. Cracker Barrel's new redesign has become the latest viral topic of discussion on social media among fans of the restaurant chain, all 65 and older. In an effort to modernize Cracker Barrel, the chain has overhauled its classic Southern country store aesthetic, replacing it with a more contemporary country theme.
Did the rocking chairs stay out front?
Photos and videos of some of the locations that have already undergone decor transformations have amassed hundreds of thousands of views, with patrons flooding comment sections with mixed opinions on the new look. One just read, "Thanks, I hate it." Okay. I didn't know that people were so connected with Cracker Barrel's aesthetics.
It's an effort to boost sales, attract new customers, but hopefully keep their aging customers as well.
It's a culture. Okay. Cracker Barrel is a culture.
Changes, by the way, are said to range from a fresh coat of paint to the full makeover. When was the last time you have been to a Cracker Barrel?
Oh, God. Decades.
I've never been to one here, but in all of my travels, if I'm on the road and I see a Cracker Barrel, I try to pop in. I've never actually eaten at one because every time I've tried to pop in, was like a 45 or 2 hour wait.
I have eaten at one. I can't remember where it was. It wasn't here. And it wasn't bad. It's good family dining.
It's comfort food.
Yes. But, you know, there are a handful of restaurants in this world that, for whatever reason, have acquired this old person restaurant.
Furs? Are you talking about Furs
Cafeteria?
Absolutely,
I'm talking about Furs.
Golden Corral?
Golden Corral is number two, and so is Cracker Barrel.
Name another one from our childhood. Golden Corral was a big one. My grandparents would always be like, well, he's highfalutin. He took his family out last night to the Golden Corral.
You included the word golden? See, up in Leavenworth, we just call it
the corral.
Where'd you guys eat last night? The Corral. It's good. Got the chicken fried steak.
Of course you did.
Potatoes.
Is there any other choice?
No. That's where our every Friday in the fall, that's where our football coach would take the entire team.
All right, I'm going to take your Golden Corral, and I'm going to one-up you in Topeka, Kansas with the sirloin stockade.
Ooh, the sirloin. I thought you were going to say the sirloin steak.
Nope. The sirloin stockade, okay. I believe, used to be a Wanamaker. And all of the cups at these casual dining family restaurants, you know when you're there.
Yes.
Because they're that amber-colored plastic.
Almost see-through, but not.
Not quite. A little bigger than a shot glass.
Well, they had to be amber so you could see that they weren't really that clean.
Probably had not been washed.
By the way, Bob Evans from the text line.
Bob Evans, yes. Of course. Howard Johnson's.
That's a hotel.
No, it's also a restaurant.
The Hojo?
I thought it was a restaurant as well.
If you ate there and had a dining experience there, I think you maybe did something wrong.
Maybe I did. Maybe you're right. Anyway.
Text line says there might still be a sirloin stockade in Ottawa.
What about a Denny's? Where does Denny's falls in the, it's 3 a.m. and I'm drunk.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'll tell you this.
So does Perkins.
The last time we were in a smaller town.
And Waffle House.
We ate at Waffle House. If you're in Biloxi across the street from the other Waffle House, you are drunk and so is the waitstaff.
Mm-hmm.
Like 2 a.m. just getting out of the casino.
How many times when you were at KU were you schnockered sitting at Perkins at 2:30 in the morning ordering a
Perkins is awesome.
Ordering pancakes.
They also have like the biggest American flag in the United States.
Yes, they do.
They're very patriotic.
They love America.
They do love America.
No, what were you going to say? I'm
sorry, I went to a Denny's the last time we were in a small town about 2 months ago. We went to a Denny's.
What town were you
in? It was phenomenal.
How small is the town we're talking?
Really small. Down toward the Ozarks, but not the Ozarks. And we went and had a great...
Like a lot of Confederate flags small, owns a gun small?
Everyone owns a gun small.
Okay.
So, and it was lovely. And I'm telling you, the service was outstanding. And I actually said to Johnny, because it was, I think our total bill was $4. I mean, there were three of us, and I swear to you, the bill was $4. I said, how do they stay in business?
Because everybody eats there.
Oh, that grand slam is...
Sam,
it's a high-quality breakfast.
I'm telling
right
you,
there.
I'm trying to remember, and you know, we got Diet Cokes or whatever. I really think our bill, if I'm being serious.
And you had food too, right?
Yes. I think our bill was $17 or $18 for three people. I looked at Johnny and go, how do they stay in business?
Text line, that is not nice. Denny's is not a place you go. It's a place you end up.
That's not fair.
That's good.
That is not fair.
Very good.
All right.
All right. So, Sam, we know you're kind of a woo-woo person lately.
A what?
He's a little woo-woo, a woo-woo, you know?
I don't even know what that means.
Well, granola, crunchy.
He likes the earth. He likes, you know, I like me some acupuncture. We've talked about this. Did you see in the Kansas City Star today that Heidi Gardner of SNL fame from our town has cats, loves cats? Okay. She has been giving them weekly sound baths. What? And now you can do this for your pets too.
I'm out.
Yeah.
I don't think you are, Sam, and here's why.
I'm out.
A few weeks ago, while house sitting for a friend, Joanne Schermerhorn decided to use the time to practice her new sound bath skills. She spread out her musical instruments, singing bowls, chimes, a steel tongue drum on the living room floor, and began to play. Have you seen these drums, Scott? Try to find us one of those bowl drum sounds.
I know what you're talking about. And it just goes,
right? How does it go? The soothing, deeply resonant humming of the bowls and sparkling tingling of chimes filled the room. A sound bath is an oral experience.
I beg your pardon?
Aural experience.
Thank
that
you for clarifying.
Washes over the listener, helping them feel calm, less stressed, and more energized. Schermerhorn, newly certified in the practice, was prepping for an appointment with a human client with her bowls. But what happened next took her by surprise. There were two older cats in the home. One is sick, the other one is blind. They both followed the sounds into the room. A feisty two-year-old cat, busy chasing birds in the backyard, also came into the house and sat down at her feet. And I was like, she said, this is really cute. Oh. So I sent Heidi all these videos and she was obsessed with it. Oh, it's very calming. She boasted Heidi Gardner in one Instagram post, I have the best pet sitter in Kansas City. She now gives the kitties sound baths and they love it. And now everyone is like, should we be doing this for our dogs? The woman they interviewed that is the human sound bath person, but now she does cats, said she had never considered doing this for pets. But why wouldn't it work to calm your cat or dog in a way that it calms humans? It does.
Are cats so wound up that they need a sound bath?
I think there are certain animals that are on a higher strung frequency, sure.
Yeah, I prefer the very calming, lay down!
Listen to this. When I do sound baths, the three older cats get on the couch and all spoon. It's so funny. We don't want to disrupt the sound. Heidi and I tried not to talk to each other, but we're looking at each other when they did this and whispered, oh my gosh. Because Heidi's four cats are not all best friends. But then you dong those bowls and they all go, oh. Oh, it's very calming.
You gonna go night-night?
Yep.
This last drum.
It's so calming. You know, they do those bowls, they knock them just at the right place where.
How do they know?
Because there are certain frequencies and certain sounds that are calming to the human ear. It's absolutely true.
Is that calming right there?
It's calming to me. She says this especially works when there's thunder and lightning if you have a dog that is incredibly anxious about those.
Huh. Okay. Heidi Gardner still lives in Kansas City?
I think she is in and out. I think she's, you know, probably in New York, but
I am big on being one with the earth and in touch with your frequencies, but I am not going to sit down and give my dog a sound bath.
Oh, come on. Try it. I think it'd be funny.
But between you being all of a sudden becoming one with the earth, and you eating in small restaurants in crazy small towns. What the hell is going on around here?
I didn't say I was going to make Denny's a staple of my life, but I said the one time we went, it was rather enjoyable.
And would you say the town had more than 1,000 people in
it? No.
See, this is what I'm getting at.
My guess is you could not find a sound bath there.
But they don't have the internet?
You know, I wonder if that's why Mr. Rogers, at the beginning of his show, used those sounds, Sam. The one you just played sounded like Mr. Rogers.
Huh. Yeah, you're right.
He was onto something. I loved him.
He was on drugs.
Fred Rogers is an American treasure. You take that back.
913-586-7798. 586-7798. No, don't encourage it.
There is no better sound garden than Bob Ross.
Followed by Steve Miller.
Why do you hate him so much?
Because he sucks. Oh,
okay, we're moving on.
Lawrence police are investigating a dog attack after a woman was injured and her chihuahua was killed by an unleashed dog on Sunday. This occurred around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Officers were called to Centennial Skate Park on reports of a dog attack. The investigation reveals that a woman in her 70s was walking her three dogs when an unleashed dog attacked her and her chihuahua.
She'd be hospitalized, Scott.
The other two dogs were not harmed. When police arrived, they found the woman suffering from a severe bite wound to her arm, a broken finger, and several other minor wounds. The pet chihuahua was killed in the attack.
She was walking all three of her dogs at the park, and she rounded this bend, she said. She turns the corner, and the minute she turns the corner, she sees a dog without a leash over there by the trash can. She said it was a split second. There was no time to pick up the dog. She said the dog was on her and the dog in seconds.
The dog was pinned down by some men who saw the attack. Officers then created a makeshift muzzle to control the dog and took it away from the scene.
There was some guy named Anthony there, I guess, who ran over to help. Her dog Pete was killed. Another one, ran off. It was a mess. And she did say in one of her interviews, I want to shout out whoever this Anthony was. He was like playing frisbee golf or something and ran over to intervene. Which I know that you guys, if something like that happened, would do.
If it was, yeah, for sure.
A 70-year-old woman needs help being
course.
Attacked?
Yes. I would probably not tackle the dog, in all honesty. And I'm not trying to be tough guy or, I would probably just kick that dog.
The dog that attacked is now in quarantine at the Lawrence Humane Society. It will be held for at least 10 days, allowing time for an owner to come forward.
That's not going to happen.
So police, listen to this. Police said they identified a possible owner, but that person was like, no, that dog's not mine anymore. That was the response.
Not mine anymore.
The dog is no longer theirs.
Meaning they adopted it, microchipped it, and then adopted it out somewhere.
No. Sam was there. The dog was there when they arrived. It was theirs. And then it attacked a 70-year-old woman, and then on scene, no longer is it mine. That's the way I read it.
Okay.
That's the way I read it, too. By the way, the story from Fox 4 does have some tips if you are the victim of a pending dog attack.
Okay.
There's only three things you can do, according to this veterinarian that they quoted in the Fox 4 story. Number one is make loud noises.
Yeah, like screaming, which is what I would be doing. And it also says don't panic. That no way am I not going to panic.
Yelling in a deep voice or clapping.
Okay.
Number two is carry a bite stick.
Okay, so it bites the stick and not you?
Correct.
That's the only way I can read that, yeah.
I see on the list you can carry a small air horn.
A foghorn, I believe, is what...
air horn goes, meh! The foghorn goes, meh, meh.
Can you run that by me one more time?
Yeah, just so we're clear. That's the foghorn.
Yeah, why would you put a foghorn at a dog?
Dana,
am I supposed to board a ship?
I'm just telling you, it says foghorn right there.
They meant air horn.
Air
horn goes, meh! That's that thing at graduations that you get kicked out if you air horn.
Okay. Get in an athletic stance, put your hands out in front of you.
She's 70 years old!
Say a prayer and get ready to die.
Eat that thing.
I would... I've never been attacked by a dog. I don't even know what I would do if I was attacked by a dog.
Would you blow a foghorn?
See how many boats come into port? Trying to port these boats here.
Why do you think a dog attacked him? Well, he was blowing a foghorn. Didn't quite know what to do with that.
The third thing is pepper spray.
Where did it's amazing. The dog looks so confused, but he kept attacking.
What's a foghorn sound like? Is that as deep as you can make your voice go? So stupid. Anyway, we're not making fun of this woman being attacked.
No,
nor
God,
her,
no.
Nor her chihuahua.
Making fun of whoever was the reporter on that story that called it a foghorn.
Here's my question. Where were the other two dogs?
Oh, one of them ran. So sad. And I think one of them ran home. And then the other one went with her in the ambulance. And the other dog wasn't hurt, but was so traumatized.
You need to get some new dogs.
No, Scott, she was out there with her three little dogs.
They were all little?
Yeah. No, we cannot victim blame here. This is, this was an irresponsible owner.
I'm not disputing that.
I know.
What I'm saying is, why didn't the other two dogs?
They were all small. That's why.
Okay. And so they were just afraid?
I would guess that the one that probably lost his life probably did try to protect her. And then here we are,
Well, and not all big dogs are fighters. I have a cousin who has two pit bulls and has been attacked twice in the city limits of Kansas City by random stray dogs. And he had to pick his dog up because it was just getting beaten by this other dog.
Oh, really? No.
Yeah.
Wow.
I have no doubt that sweet little Lizzie would come to my defense.
I did actually. I was walking Barb this morning and there was a pretty big dog that ran at a fence very aggressively. And I thought to myself, what would I do in this situation? And then I remembered that my dog is absolutely crazy. And I was like, I'd probably be fine.
She has no fear?
Yeah, none at all.
See, that's the key, man. You got to get a dog that has no fear.
I have a feeling that the dog hopping the fence to attack me would be like, I am so sorry, Barb.
I'm
going to go back to my fence.
Mm-hmm. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798, 586-7798 on Dana and Parks. So, Dana, look what you're doing to my TV.
Oh, yeah.
Well, inside baseball, when she turns her channel, it turns mine. It drives me nuts. It's time for your ADD word of the day.
Oh, is it yours today?
No, Sam wants to double up. He had a word yesterday.
Yeah? I can do it every day.
Sam, I'm going to be honest. I don't even remember what the word was yesterday.
I know.
What was it?
Can I give you the definition and you can guess the word?
Yeah.
It is the part of your back.
You all do recognize the irony that we did this to educate people, and not a single damned one of us can remember the word from the day before.
Oh, I remember it.
Meaning between Scott and I.
Oh.
It's the part of your back you can't touch.
Yes. On any animal, not just humans, but it's the part of your back between the shoulder blades and above the loins that cannot be reached.
The aclafine.
The what?
The aclafine.
You did not remember that word.
It's very close.
I know it's close, but I can't remember the word.
Yeah.
Acnestis.
Acnestis.
Nestis.
Today's word.
This is the ADD word of the day, and ADD stands for anti-dum-dum.
Calipigian.
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 Mm-hmm. Now, would you like to?
Pigeon
from California.
Lost in California.
Is that our guess for a definition?
Yes.
You are almost not even close to being right.
Calipigian.
Having a well-shaped buttocks.
So I am a calipigian.
All right, simmer down. Calipigian is from the Greek origin of kalos, beautiful, and I don't know. I don't speak Greek.
Please don't.
Meaning buttocks. And then Old English added the ian on the end, so we get calipigian.
Calipigian.
Of great buttocks.
Calipigian. I think we all know someone who's a calipigian.
I'm sitting right here.
Okay.
On my calipigian.
I don't skip leg day. Calipigian. There will be a quiz on Friday.
Okay. I do skip leg day because my quads are now atrophied, according to the doctor.
Atrophied. There's a new word. Atrophied. Are you in your 60s? You know it.
Your knees just ain't.
No. Story here from the USA Today. Baylor University is suing Boston University.
Uh-oh.
For the private university's use of the interlocking BU logo design.
Give me a break.
Yeah, it's the truth. It's from the USA Today. The lawsuit, which was filed in Texas federal court a handful of days ago, is against the trustees of Boston University and for federal trademark infringement.
Okay.
Quoting here, while Baylor does not generally object to defendants' use of the initials BU.
No, you can't. You don't own the letters B and U.
In connection with its university, it does object to defendants' adoption and use of a specific interlocking BU design that is identical or strikingly similar to Baylor's federally registered marks.
If I were Boston, I would change the first letter to an F. That would be my two-letter response in my filing in response to their filing.
The school, Baylor, is asking the court to require Boston University to, quote, destroy all goods, packaging, signage, advertisements, internet postings, advertisements, and any other materials bearing or using an interlocking BU mark.
Uh-huh.
Sam, would you mind looking up, if you'd be so kind, the Baylor University logo, which I'm quite familiar with since they're in the Big 12, and Boston University's. And will you report back when you get a second?
Got it right here.
How close are they in design?
The only difference is that BU for Boston has a black outline and is red.
Right. School colors.
BU for Baylor is green, has no outline. There's a break in the U to show that it's going behind the B, if that makes sense.
Okay.
There's like a little line where there's no U, but it's a continuation of the U. And then there's little arrows on the BU Baylor logo.
Be a reasonable man. Let's apply the reasonable man standard. If you look at the one on the left and look at the one on the right, you think people are going to be confused when they show up on Baylor's campus to look at whether or not they want to go to Baylor and be like, oh, damn, am I in Boston?
If I was colorblind, they look almost exactly the same.
Okay.
But you're not colorblind, and we all know that Baylor's predominant color for their school is green.
Yeah.
And that Boston's is sort of a maroonish red.
Yes, but
yeah.
Think of the Nike swoosh.
You mean yes, Calipigian?
If you used the swoosh in other advertising and made it lime green, Nike would still come after you because they own the swoosh.
I understand, but
I really want Friends University to bring their logo back.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
We're good.
Those were the best t-shirts.
Let's just leave that one on the table and walk away from it.
Maybe a crew neck. I don't know if
no, we're
time.
Good.
Okay.
Good grief. Oh, here's a fun little experiment. Mm-hmm. I was telling Rob Brenton from the sports station, today happens to be Sir Mix-a-Lot's birthday.
I like big butts and I cannot lie.
Calipigians and I cannot lie.
You other brothers can't deny.
His real name is Anthony Ray. He's 62 years old.
When a girl walks in with an itty-bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung.
Anyway, we got into a very interesting conversation, and we'll just have it here for a quick second. Huh. He said, Baby's Got Back is the greatest one-hit wonder of all time.
Of all time?
Of all time.
It's pretty good. I'm going to write
that
down.
What is the greatest one-hit wonder song of all time?
Yeah, because usually one-hit wonders are good enough to keep it going for the artist. That's why it is a one-hit wonder.
And don't get all deep in the catalog and say, well, it wouldn't be Take On Me by A-ha because they did have two other hits in Europe.
No, I would say...
With The Sun Always Shines on TV.
See, I can't just think of a one-hit wonder, but when you say Take On Me by A-ha, I'm like, that's it.
Sir Mix-a-Lot isn't a one-hit wonder.
He pretty much is.
Well, he had five songs chart.
That no one can name.
Name it.
Posse on Broadway.
Never heard of it.
My Hoopty.
Oh, I do remember My Hoopty.
List the other two.
That was on the other side of the cassette that I owned.
When you say charted, do you mean like at 100?
In the top 200. It was on the chart.
That's not, you have to be in the top 40 for it to count as an actual hit. What about Come On Eileen?
I hate that song.
But it's still a great one-hit wonder. I'm Too Sexy?
No. It's still Take On Me by A-ha. Beats all those.
Macarena?
Oh, that is so catchy. Still Take catchy On Me, A-ha.
Tainted Love?
Ugh. Ugh. I'd rather chew on tinfoil than ever hear that song again.
It's all right. It's just, it was overplayed.
Video Killed the Radio Star?
Yeah.
Mm.
Somebody That I Used to Know.
Oh.
Rick Springfield had more than just Jesse's Girl. Oh, of course. Jenny, 867-5309.
The phone number you cannot forget.
You know,
one of the greats.
You know, people in the 80s, when that song came out, I think it was 82 or 83.
Help you if you had that number.
Had to change their number.
Yeah.
If they had that phone number.
Oh, yeah.
Because people would call it.
Is Tag Team a one-hit wonder?
Is that
Tag Team?
Who Let the Dogs Out?
There It Is.
Oh, Whoop, There It Is. Yes. I love that song.
Somebody says, are you kidding? Listen, don't get mad that we said that Sir Mix-a-Lot was a one-hit wonder. And no, I didn't. I've never heard his song Buttermilk Biscuits.
Mickey?
No, I hate that song.
Turn Up the Radio by Autograph. Yep.
Okay.
In terms of popularity, I think we have an easy winner here. Gangnam Style.
No. And don't you dare mention What Did the Fox Say? Ding, 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 ding. No. It's A-ha, Take On Me. You still have not knocked that one off the summit here.
Friend of the program, Mbop.
That was a one-hit wonder.
It was.
Ice Ice Baby.
My Sharona.
Ooh, My Sharona.
By the Knack.
What decade had the most one-hit wonders? Is it the 80s?
It's got to be the 80s. Well, you know, I say that and no, it might have been the 90s. There were a lot of one-hit wonders in the 90s.
Hmm.
I am looking at a list from VH1 of the 100 greatest one-hit wonders.
Give me just a couple.
It is pretty much a tie between the 80s and the 90s.
Give us the top 10.
Well, we've already got, I'll start at 10.
Okay.
Scott, one of your favorite songs of all time by a band with a four-letter name.
Okay.
99. Das Luftballons.
Oh, 99 by Nina. 99 Luftballons.
Okay.
Next, we have Rico Suave by Gerardo.
Oh, Rico Suave.
So far, we've got 180s, 190s.
Okay.
Take On Me, A-ha.
Is eighth?
Should be way higher.
See, I agree with Dana. I think that's the greatest one-hit wonder. Although, I am deep into the, I'm going to be honest, I am an A-ha fan, and I have many of their albums.
Vanilla Ice. Ice Ice Baby.
Yeah.
Who Let the Dogs Out by Baha Men.
Yeah.
Mickey by Tony Basil, whatever. I'm Too Sexy. Come On Eileen, Tainted Love, and Macarena at number one.
Macarena comes in at number one.
No.
Wow.
And it is 5-5 for 80s to 90s songs in the top 10.
Break the tie and go to song number 11.
That is 1977.
Oh.
You Light Up My Life by Debbie Boone. Yeah. And then 90s wins it. We'll go to number 12, Sir Mix-a-Lot.
How is You Light Up My Life number 11? Oh my gosh. Have you guys heard of this new outdoor cinema?
Huh?
There is a new outdoor rooftop cinema.
You mean
in
movie theater?
The Crossroads. No. You go up, 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 up on a roof and you watch like a drive-in, but you sit on your Kalos begin, and you watch a movie.
Cal Pigeon.
Right, and it's a different movie every week. They've got a whole bunch of different ones.
Bunch of Adirondack chairs.
You guys, there are movies coming up. Scott, you want to talk about the 80s. There are movies on this schedule that are smash hits. Dirty Dancing, to name a few.
No, Dirty Dancing is 2 hours of my life that you recommended that I watch that movie, and I did it. And I'll never get those 2 hours
back. I'm just saying that's one of them. But there are movies that you would like to, and a girlfriend of mine went and then posted about it, and then someone here posted about it, and we have already got our tickets.
Really?
We're going in 3 weeks. Guys, I want to go in September when it's a little cooler. We are taking all of the kids, and we are going to see one of the greatest movies of all time.
Top Gun? Star Wars?
Grease is the word. It's got groove. It's got feeling. And I know every word to every song, and I will be belting it out.
No, don't do that to
the kids.
What
kind of wagon is it?
What kind of what?
Don't answer that question.
913-586-7798.
That is a sing-along movie, Scott.
Are you just going to play one-hit wonders for the rest of the show?
Yes.
What are we doing here?
Well, groove is in the heart.
Groove is in the heart. Who art, sings this? Art, art, I forget.
D with four E's. Or three E's,
no,
pardon
no.
me.
D.
I don't care if Light. This is a one-hit wonder. That is a song that should never be played again. Ever. No.
It's a jam.
No, it is not. Oh, it is awful.
Makes me want to move.
No.
Oh, my God.
Makes
Could
me
want to
move away from
the
speakers.
There? They say groove is in the heart, art, 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 art. And he goes, astronomical. What?
It's bad.
What about Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch?
Oh, well, they had a lot of hits.
No, they didn't.
Everybody dance now.
That's not Marky Mark and the Funky
Wasn't
Bunch.
That also a one-hit wonder? CC yes. and the Music Factory?
Yes.
Okay, I got to add that to my list. Bum, 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 bum.
Play that funky music.
Ooh, that's not bad. Now we're remembering good ones.
And it got a DeVita?
Because it ain't.
My Iron Butterfly is a 15-minute song.
You light up my life.
So you see, in a got a DeVita, back in the old days when.
Was that when you had to poop?
Well, yes. Disc jockeys would. That's the only reason the song became a hit. It's really not that good.
Rapper's Delight.
But it's 15 minutes long, and when a disc jockey needed to go take a poop, they would play In a got a DeVita by Iron Butterfly, and that's how the song became a hit. I am not kidding. That's the truth. All right, let's go overseas to England for just a moment. Motorists over the age of 70 could be banned from the roads if they fail eye tests under a radical shakeup of driving laws in Great Britain.
Yeah.
Plans also include reducing the drink driving limit in both England and Wales to fall in line with Scotland's laws and giving people points on their license for not wearing a seatbelt. The move comes after an inquest into four deaths caused by drivers with failing eyesight.
Okay, I'm just going to say this. We had a man in late 70s or early 80s in New York, I think it was overnight or this morning, that just plowed willy-nilly into a food cart, and three or four people are dead.
Oh.
And when I saw that headline, I thought, like, it's always such a difficult, impossible conversation for adult children to have with their parents when they're starting to think that maybe it's time to take the keys away. That maybe it's easier if you leave it up to Uncle Sam to do it. Like, let's just do a vision test.
Yeah, but sometimes, well, okay, but you don't want to wait until they have to go take a vision test to fail it.
Yeah, I don't
Read the standing orders. Read them and understand them.
I know what the answer is, Scott.
But I don't, you know, God forbid, you know, we have to have that conversation with my mother. That is one of the conversations I'm looking
You're
forward
like, Steven,
to.
Steven, this
least.
Is on you.
Yeah. Hey, Bee, why don't you come on into town
I'll see you at Christmas time.
For a weekend.
You're going to take mom's keys away. It's going to go great.
Bobby McFerrin, another one-hit wonder. That is correct.
Great song.
Sam Stevie III, she is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. The news with Dan Weinbaum in 2 minutes here on Dan and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.